last hour or so, so I don't know. It's about 10:30 Eastern Time, and the tower has collapsed.
Sound bites, obviously, from 9/11, 22 years ago. I'm joined in studio today by Vince Harrison, Mark Chavis, retired firefighter, and Jennifer Santiago, who is the co-founder and director of Reload Love. Vince, of course, a retired detective with the Albuquerque Police Department. Kind of a somber day, a little cloudy outside, but at the same time, it's somber and remembering things which you all are going to be able to share with us. All three of you were at Ground Zero. All three of you had a chance to be with people in New York and encourage and all of that. But the Holy Spirit did use that event and has brought people together. But as we were talking today, we wonder if America is still remembering. And so I'm going to start with Vince. Vince, what's capturing your attention today as you remember 9/11?
Just that it seems like yesterday, you know, and thank you for having us, Jim, on the show today. It's always emotional for me around, I guess, around the time of 9/11, because we got to visit it, we got to go down there, we got to see what it, how it affected America, how it affected it, people, New Yorkers specifically, but just that we can't ever forget. And you look around, you were just telling me off the air about some of the NFL games yesterday. They took a moment of silence, and that is awesome, because me, I was disappointed thinking nobody's talking about it. We are here at Calvary at the Connection. And he obviously here today, but I did watch the news today, and you see a couple of news stations doing a snippets about it, but nothing like was done in the past. So the biggest thing is that we just don't forget 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go right to Jen. Jen, you were asked to bring a team, of which these two gentlemen, both Mark and Vince, were part of that team. How did you come to be leading a team to go to New York in what has ended up being, if not the most historic, tragic event of an American history, at least very high up there?
Yeah, so I was working with Skip at the time, and my husband and I were school of ministry alumni, so we've been on mission trips, led mission trips, and my husband is a New Yorker. That's his city, his neighborhood. And so when Skip got back from visiting and figuring out what organizations are there and how our church could help, we had a meeting, and he asked my husband and I to lead a trip with first responders to go and connect and partner with the church and other organizations that were there so that we could be boots on the ground to serve people. And so it was incredible. We put a list together, made calls, and everybody was 100% in. It was really powerful.
And Vince, you were at the time on the Albuquerque Police Department, correct?
Yes.
And Mark, you were a firefighter?
Yes, sir.
Albuquerque, Bernalillo?
Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. And so you were both active, and you had to get permission in your departments. What was it like when you went? Was it what you expected? Jen, you had a little preparation from Skip telling you, because he had been there.
Right, he had been there, and I think for us, I mean, of course, my husband, it was devastating because he was feeling it personally. We all felt it personally, but that was his city. And so he had to take it in one way. And then also what you're knowing the city, what the Twin Towers looked like, being there before 9/11 happened. We knew what life was there, looked like there prior to the attack. But then going, you know, we see what was on the news, we hear the stories, but there's nothing like it until you're actually there on the ground. When I think about it, I can still smell the burning metal. I can still hear the cries and see the tears of the people that were surrounding the fenced off area. It's like Vince said, it was as though we were just there yesterday. And so it's very emotional, kind of sucker punch. But when God has called you to that type of mission, you're just so ready to run to the roar, run to the fire, run to the, you know, metal was still burning. There was still smoke coming off of the ground.
And how long was it after 9/11
happened? We went at the beginning of October, so it was a few weeks after.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
The dates right there.
And so, and it's still on fire, and there's still tragedy, and
still
there's
a big pile.
There's all the smells. Were they, at that point, it was a recovery mission? Not a rescue mission?
They were still digging and hoping to hear, but they were right at that tipping point of like, there's no one can survive this long. But they were still hoping to find pockets and stuff, but they never did.
Right. And they were finding, I remember the night that we went in, an alarm would go off when they found someone. And the night I was specifically there, the alarm went off and they found a body. And so everything goes silent after that alarm to just honor that person and how they take them out of the rubble.
I remember the morning of 9/11, I was watching Good Morning America and I saw the first plane hit the first tower. And they began to talk about it as though it was an accident. And right while Charlie Gibson, who was the host, was talking, the second plane hits the other tower. And Charlie makes this, I thought, very profound statement. He said, obviously, this was not an accident. Mm-hmm. And it's still hard for me to comprehend the evil and the intentions and the planning that the enemy has to try to steal, kill, and destroy us. Do you agree with that, Mark?
Absolutely. I mean, it was just the level of evil that would cause someone to number one, think of this idea of crashing planes and killing innocent people, but to garner other volunteers to train and come here and learn how to fly airplanes with a sole purpose of destroying people, innocent people.
Learn how to fly airplanes in America.
Mm-hmm. Right, in our own country.
Have Americans train us how to...
That's how asleep we were, you know.
Yeah.
Not paying attention to the warning signs, not being situationally aware, not recognizing that this is the enemy is evil. And, you know, I think we're naive. And just thinking that, oh, we'll be okay. This is America. But that made it easy for them to come in and do what they did.
Easy is really an understatement almost. And at the same time, Vince, when you went, you saw an outpouring of people from around the world responding to try to help. Mm-hmm. Even though, these were people helping Americans. They were from every country.
Right.
Did you meet some of them and talk with some of them?
Yeah, I was just looking through my album I created back then. My wife, Yvette, created this for me. And you can still, Jen was saying, the fire coming out of the pit right there. Mm-hmm. You remember that? They called it the pit.
Yep.
And then they called the rubble across that Staten Island.
The pile.
The pile.
They called it the pile for, I think when we were there, but I went back, it was the pit. They had taken the rubble out, and there's actually now they're getting down into
the hole in the ground. Yeah.
The hole in the ground. And so it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think that when you look back, last night, I was up to about midnight, and I went back and looked at some old footage of the 9/11 towers falling, and some they had the... somebody actually writing, if you get a chance to look at that, it's a documentary, and they were actually writing and putting together, a crew was writing along, a film crew with some NYFD, or as they say, FDNY over there, one of the battalion commanders, and they responded with them and have live footage. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Just your heart sinks because it's so real.
Is that the French guys, Vince? French
guys? I don't think that's a different one. One they specifically were following, a battalion chief. I can't think of his name, but it just was eerie because you're watching it and they're going in, and not one of them, they asked them, a couple of the battalion commanders and the chiefs that lived, they said, did anybody refuse to go in? You're going up 77 stories of a building that's on fire because the fire is on the 78th, between the 78th and 84th floor. People are screaming. They're burning alive. They're jumping off the buildings. The first firefighter killed was by somebody who jumped off the building and landed on him.
And he probably tried to catch him. Probably tried not to move out of the way. That's the scary part.
So when you look at that, within 45 minutes, the first American Airlines hijacked at 8:46. The North Tower was struck at 9:03. The flight struck the South Tower at 9:37. The Flight 77 struck the Pentagon. And then at 10:03, Flight 93 crashed into Pennsylvania. And so America knew. I was at the police academy. We were actually doing We're doing our MOE training called Method of Effort Training that you have to go through every year. We're sitting there bored out of our minds watching a DWI refresher, and one of the captains comes in and says, "Hey, turn on the TV. They turn on the TV. And here's a little TV in the room with about 100 guys, and here's the tower on fire. We're like, somebody doesn't know what they're doing. Somebody had a heart attack. And right then and there, live, the second one came in, and they came in and said, the chief, the fire and police department are now on Alpha Bravo, they called it. Everybody's going to 12-hour shifts till we know, because America's under attack. And they started, then they showed the Pentagon. Then they showed the flight going into them. They're like, what's going on? Nobody knew. We didn't know. I mean, obviously there were some hints before that the federal government knew about, but that's another story. So it was, all of that, you go back, I was thinking all night. I couldn't sleep real well, because it just, we as Americans have a lot to be thankful for, freedom. Mm. And we can't forget about that. It's being challenged every day, our freedom mm-hmm. in our country. And this is just a memory. Hopefully people today can memorialize those that went before us and lost their lives, and those that went and fought after this.
I want you to follow up on that thought spiritually, what America needs to learn from this. But I want to go to Mark and ask you, Mark, where do you think America is spiritually now, 22 years later?
Well, honestly, I think 22 years ago we were asleep. But we were patriotic, and we were a Christian, Judeo-Christian values were pretty prevalent for the most part. Today, I think we're even more asleep, honestly. We've allowed this evil to creep in like a fog over our country, and really it's kind of a worldwide phenomenon, I think, and it's an indication of what Skip's been teaching on, is this the end? Is this the end times? And so I think that now we've come to a point where our spiritual values are very compromised in this country, and patriotic values as well. This morning as I was driving around, I noticed that there was hardly any flags flying from people's homes. Whereas after 9/11, everybody had a flag up. I mean, we had kids coming to the fire station with their piggy bank saying, "Hey, we want to help the firemen in New York." It was just like, wow, this is crazy, Churches were filled with people praying and supporting our country and the efforts to make it right. I don't think we have that anymore. I think look what's going on now. Supreme Court justice not being able to give the definition of a woman, having schools, these drag queen readings in the libraries and stuff. I mean, we've just come to a place where our First Amendment rights are being challenged. You can't say anything unless it falls in line with what they want you to say.
The parental rights we're missing now. They're trying to take away our parental rights. What can you teach our kids? How can you teach our kids? They don't want us to have input into that.
They want control over everything.
Yeah.
And I think it's a precursor to the Antichrist. Honestly, that's how I feel about it.
I'm with Vince Harrison. He's retired APD officer, retired firefighter Mark Chavez, and Jennifer Santiago with Reload Love. They're going to be with us till the top of the hour, so I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. We're honoring the memory of 9/11 and what it means to the families who had sacrificed people at that event, first responders, people in the buildings, law enforcement, families, how it affected throughout this country, how and what we should be thinking about 9/11 today. I mean, I don't personally think 9/11 should bring us down. It should bring us up. And we're going to talk more about that when we come back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
America today is on bended knee in prayer for the people whose lives were lost here.
Let's go! Underground!
Dispatch the military, sending ships from the United States Naval Base in Norfolk.
See, there's debris all over. It looks like it's snowing out here in downtown Manhattan.
We are remembering 9/11. This is Jim Williams in for Steve Ryman today on Monday. Vince Harrison, Mark Chavez, and Jennifer Santiago. Three friends of mine, I'm proud to say. We've been doing this now for a couple years. We haven't had Jen join us before. And Jen, I'm going to start this segment by saying, you're involved in a ministry, Reload Love. You're trying to help people understand how you can even take a bullet and turn it into jewelry mm-hmm. and raise money and build playgrounds in the middle of terrorist sections of countries. I mean, you do all kinds of cool stuff. So you have hope despite these kinds of terrorist activities.
Yes.
Do you feel like, tell us about a person that you had a chance to share with. Did you hug a lot of people when you went?
Yes. Not initially. My first interaction was with a woman when we went, we weren't in yet, but we were on the outskirts where they had it fenced off. And this lady was on her knees just sobbing. And so I just kind of put my hand on her shoulder and I said, I'm so sorry. And she just kept crying. She didn't look up. And then I knelt down next to her and I asked her if I could pray with her. And she was so upset. She's like, I don't think prayer is going to help at this point. Look what happened. Like, it was too late. Mm-hmm. And it just crushed me because I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, how, like, what do I have to say? Like, what can I even do to bring comfort to these people? And that was day one of being there. But after that, part of my assignment was to go to this Italian restaurant that was on the outskirts that the first responders would come to have a break and eat. And so we got to serve them their lunch and coffee and all of the things. And so the guys would come in, men and women from the pit, and, you know, take their hats off, drink some water. And there, some of them are laughing, carrying on. Some are just quiet. But they would get up and shake my hand and thank me for serving them lunch. And so those would turn into a hug of just like, I'm just feel like I'm nobody doing something so little, but it turned into a hug that there was this connection of just the fact that they were there, the fact that I got to be there. We were in it together to somehow bring healing.
There was Mino's.
Yes.
Mino's,
yes,
restaurant.
Yes.
Yeah. Vince, you were an Albuquerque police detective at that time. I know you because I've gone through some of your training and other things as you oversee the safety team at Calvary Church. I know you know a lot about de-escalating, but you were seeing people that weren't fighting crime. They were overwhelmed with the tragedy of this event. How did you bring comfort to them?
Listening. I think a lot of times as men and, you know, even first responders, you have to be a problem solver. And you can be a pastor, a priest, you can be a counselor, and you can be the father, and you can be the one putting handcuffs on them, you, whatever the situation may be. This was more of listening, because I remember nobody wanted to hear anything. Mm-hmm. They, you know, what's that old saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was exactly what we were doing, being there to support them at the funerals. It was a somber time. I mean, to smile, you did not see a lot of smiles out there. You did not. There's a picture I took of John Corvano is his name. He's a New Jersey cop. He was just angry. We need to go get him. We need to annihilate Afghanistan. We need to get these terrorists. He was just furious. There's a picture of me and him at the pit. You can still see some of the smoke coming out of the fire coming out of the. There he is right there. John Corvan. He was just mad. I said, brother, he was just angry because he came from New Jersey. He's like, what did we do? We didn't have a chance. We couldn't fight back. Now we're going to fight back. And, you know, I think they were just confused, angry. A lot of times when people are afraid, I mean, this guy's a warrior. You look at him there, he's just a serious guy. He just wants, you know, and he wants revenge. But as you say, hey, brother, you know what? God knows the pain of everybody, and just, you know, if things are going to work out. We have a military. We're a powerful country, and we're going to find out who did this. Because nobody knew who did this. We had an idea. We did not know no one. The federal government didn't know for weeks, if not months after. But we had an idea because they knew. Somebody in the federal government, whether it was CIA or Pentagon or CIA, somebody knew, the military, that these terrorists had done some training here. How did they know so quickly, within a few days? But they didn't know why and how they got the training and the flight and all the. So was just more of, hey, everything's going to be all right, and listening, just listening to him. I remember he was just going on and on. He was just, what can I do? Because there was thousands of people, Mark, you remember?
Right.
The pit, Jen, there was literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people from different countries. I remember seeing the Canadian.
Japanese, German,
yep.
Germany.
These guys were from all over. Hundreds and hundreds of them there to help. And there was so many people here standing around. because you needed heavy equipment to do what you needed to do.
Yes.
And but anyways, listening, to answer your question, to listen.
Mark, a lot more firefighters as first responders were killed than police officers. Does that make you angry?
It made me angry the day it happened. I was just thinking, those, a few expletives, how could they do this to us? How could we be, you know, how could they have the nerve to, you know, I just felt like very violated. You know, but after a while, the reality set in that evil's evil, you know, and it doesn't matter. I mean, you look at the Bible and the Old Testament and some of the tragedies and the evil, terrible evil that Satan perpetrated on mankind is just awful. But as far as what Vince was saying is the how you deal with it with the guys that were there, the ministry of presence definitely was because you don't know what to say. You know, what do you say to somebody who's just lost 13 members of their company? You know, and they don't want to hear anything. You know, but just being there.
Apply that to people that are listening to the radio right now that were not there, but are dealing with friends and family and people that they may not even know that have faced tragedy. You can love people without telling them what you think.
Well, the reality for me set in when I went to Katrina afterwards, and I recognized the same kind of pain and suffering that these people were going through that some of the firefighters I dealt with in New York. Loss is loss, you know, whether it's man-made or nature-made, like Katrina, hurricane. When you lose everything and you question God, you question His love and whatnot, it's the same kind of pain. And the answer is the same, too. And that's Jesus. He's the only one that can meet that need in everyone's heart. And, you know, it's not just Katrina or 9/11, but all of us at some point in our life or another will suffer a 9/11 or a Katrina event. It may be a loss of a loved one. It may be financial loss. It may be a natural disaster. It could be, you know, but all of us at some point or another go through some kind of a tragedy that just is hard to bear and hard to go through. And the answer is the same for all of us, and that's the love of God.
You are compelled to take everything, and you face some hardship in your life. But you wrote an article called A Fireman's Journey to Ground Zero. I see you, Mark, as a guy that just wants to lift other people up no matter what else is happening. Tell us about that article.
Well, that article came about from I kept a journal when I left for New York. And I do that occasionally. I'm not real faithful to doing that, but I did keep a journal. And then when I came back, I was just trying to process everything that happened. And I started looking at my notes, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to write my thoughts down in some kind of organized order, you know. And that's where that came from, because it was like Vince was saying and Jennifer, that you don't know how. I mean, I just remember getting off the plane. And I had met a couple of firefighters on the plane from California that were going to Ground Zero from their church. I ended up working with them for the week. But I got off the plane, and I was talking to another guy on the van going to the hospital to another passenger. And I said, you know, this is terrible. What, you know, how could this happen, you know? And there was another guy on the same transport van that said, well, we deserve it. You know, the way we treat other nations and this and that. And it totally just floored me. I didn't know what to think, because I thought everybody felt the same way as me. But this guy, you know, and I didn't know what to say, how to answer him back. I just said, well, we're here to help, you know. And that bothered me that night. I was thinking, how could somebody be so sympathetic to these people that did this to us, you know? And
there's a Sandoval County commissioner named Jay Block, former military. And he shared on the radio with me a month or so ago, and I'm bringing this up because you said this, Vince. He said, I absolutely, when I went to serve in Afghanistan, I wanted to get those guys. I absolutely had hatred in my heart. And he described a process of getting to know the Afghan people, and then he just fell in love with the Afghan people, and he found out the Afghan people are like us. you know, there may be some bad apples. We're going to call them terrorists from this country. But Jen, Reload Love does amazing things. You've brought several refugees in from Afghanistan. I'm not going to make a political comment, but I kind of am. When our current president just pulled everybody out and left people that were loyal to America and helped Americans in that entire time we were in Afghanistan, he left them hanging. Their lives, their families were endangered, and Reload Love kind of stepped up and has helped some of those families. You love the Afghan people.
We do, and I think maybe something that's tangible for Westerners to understand that maybe have not either traveled or interacted with people from other countries, let alone places like Afghanistan, Iraq, whatever. We have seen in our own country crime, the increase of crime and gangs and all of the rest. And we don't like it. We want to keep our family and ourselves safe. But when you read of the statistics of our city alone, of a do not go visit city because of the crime, we don't want people to think that we're the crime, that we're the ones robbing and stealing and committing murder. We're not. We're innocent civilians just trying to do our best to keep our city clean and safe and raise our children. And it's the same for people in Afghanistan. Not everybody who is Afghan is a terrorist,
right?
Is a radical person.
And that's what Jay Block was really communicating. He knew that intellectually, mm-hmm. but he felt anger, like sure. Vince was describing. And so I think what we're going to do right now is we'll take a break. We're with Vince Harrison. He's a retired APD officer, retired firefighter Mark Chavez, and Jennifer Santiago with Reload Love. We're going to come back and talk. We've got them till 2 o'clock. You guys are so kind to give us the whole hour. We'll take a break now. We've got a little special segment during this break we want you to listen to. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about 9/11, honoring the memory of the people who died and how God wants us to use this moving forward. We'll be back after these messages.
We saw cops on the floor, firefighters on the floor, people reaching out and begging and saying, please don't leave me here, don't leave me here.
Just running from the entire financial district now. The smoke is filling.
Now the sound we heard were the floors of the South Tower collapsing as the skyscraper tumbled.
Actual sound from 9/11, 22 years ago, from the scene, Ground Zero, and reporters and news people and cell phone calls. There's about 100 different documentaries now. You can actually see video that corresponds with cell phone calls and people that were in the tower. Many of those people perished. I mean, the technology just makes all of this that much more tragic in my view. But Mark, I'm going to turn around my questions a little bit. I want to ask you if there's a common perspective that is destructive to us. Is there a common perspective about this event on 9/11 or all of the events of 9/11 and just evil in general? Is there a destructive perspective? And then I'm going to ask you about the healing perspective.
All right. Well, yeah, I think what that taught us, what 9/11 taught us, is that there is an evil out there that is dangerous. And if we aren't aware of it and we're not situationally aware that things can happen, bad things can happen, we're just being naive, you know, because we do live in a fallen and broken world. And it's caused me to be a lot more cautious. I don't want to say paranoid, but just cautious about things, evil things, and that there is a danger out there that we need to be aware of. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He says, I'm not ignorant of the wiles of Satan, and neither should we be. You know, we can't be so naive just to think that, oh, everybody's a good heart. Everybody's going to do what's right, because it's not like that in the real world.
What's the God perspective? All of you chime in on this. What's a perspective that God would have us to have? I as you just said, be aware of our surroundings, all of those things. It seems to me that when you're aware of your surroundings, like even looking out the window here, you would see these beautiful pine trees on the campus of Calvary Church, whereas most of us are so busy, we walk right by those and never take the time to even look. Now, the man to my left, Vince Harrison, he's taught all of us, we better be in yellow all the time. Mm-hmm. We better be aware of our surroundings, eyes open, head on a swivel, not because we're paranoid, right, but we just want to see what's going on. Vince, you see more of what's going on that's good most of the time.
I think what this does, it's just a good reminder every year when we do this show, and I just hope people don't forget. When it comes to our faith, we either believe God is real during the good times and the bad times, or don't believe at all. Because you cannot trust God when things are going good in your life, and then when things aren't so good, and you're in that valley of your life, you got to know that God is real and He's still there. We're allowed to suffer in this life. We're allowed to have pain. We're allowed to see what's going on because this isn't our home. Mm-hmm. What I just heard this weekend, the message this weekend, this is not our home. So we're going to suffer, and then there'll be a time where we're not going to suffer anymore. Mm-hmm. But for those around us that are suffering, there's a lot of suffering all the time. I mean, I have three friends I know right now that are going through some serious issues with cancer and different things. And sometimes life isn't fair, but God's still on the throne. Mm-hmm. For all of us, we may be in that valley right now, or we may be in the mountaintop, but we're going to get through it. And through 9/11, I hope people just realize that the threat is real. It's not going away. It's always going to be there. Things just seem like they're getting worse, but God's not stumped. He's not like, oh, this shocks me. He's allowing things to happen, right? And so we have to trust in Him always, at all times. And sometimes it's hard. Because when we have trials in our life.
When you talk about we. But a lot of people that are not necessarily involved in a church, involved in a family, involved in a small group, even you three are a small group because you have this history together and you have this love for one another because you've spent that time. You're going out of your way to spend today for an hour talking about your experience from 22 years ago. How many people are out there, do you think, Jen, that are by themselves? Maybe even listen to this radio station right now. We got to get them from. We can't. They got to stop being by themselves.
Yeah, it's funny that you just said that, and you asked me when 9/11 happened, and we hadn't left yet, and seeing the news, my thought went to the people that worked in the Twin Towers and lived in a small apartment in the city alone that was single, and nobody really even knew their life. They just get up every morning, do their thing, go to work, come home. And they didn't have family to even know that they didn't make it. My heart just was really, really burdened about that. And we still, like, we all can create an environment for ourselves to be isolated, in whatever way that would be, whether it's friends, family, and or without church. And so really, it's a choice that every individual has to make for themselves. But in a community of people, with all of the training that Vince has given us, that you'd spoke about, of being in yellow, being aware, our head on a swivel, to protect those that are around us, to protect the environment that we're in, not just of harm, but also our head on a swivel to see those that are hurting, to see those who are alone, and it's our responsibility to reach out to them and be intentional in those relationships. Because again, we can all create an environment where we have no accountability, but when God puts somebody on our heart, and or even a stranger, there's so many times I'm driving down the road in my car, and there's somebody on the side of the road, I don't know them from Adam, but God put something about them on my heart, and so I just pray for them. But especially for those that we know have isolated themselves, it is our responsibility to pursue them, to bring them back into the fold, or even just in communication with just the two, ourselves and that individual.
Mark and Vince, as first responders yourselves, I hear cool stories about elementary school kids drawing pictures and writing handwritten letters to first responders, thanking them for all kinds of things. And I think that's really touching. But what about the first responders that we just see? Like when I leave this show today, I'll drive down the street, I'll pull up next to a police car. Should I roll down my window and just tell that police officer thanks a lot?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Firefighters, paramedics, anybody who's out there, a responder, because paramedics see a lot. Albuquerque ambulance folks get forgotten a lot, and they see a lot. Mm-hmm. Firefighters see a lot. Police officers see a lot. Sheriffs, FBI, everybody, anybody who's out there. The difference is you put it in the back of your head, and you, if you don't take care of it, you don't talk about it. That's where PTSD will set in. You see a lot of things, terrible things, and you know what I want to tell people out there that you know if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to get right with Him, and you need to ask Him to forgive you, and you need to walk with Him. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters in the end. Nothing else matters. Not
is His forgiveness qualified? You have to earn His forgiveness?
With your mouth and believe in your heart, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And I, you know, I'm sure every one of these people in those towers, in the Pentagon, those that are on the flight, wish they had time. Maybe they did. Maybe they cried out to God and asked for forgiveness. But we can continue to pray for the families. What I do is when I hear a siren, I don't care if it's a fire truck, an ambulance, or a sheriff's car. I hear a siren. I don't always, but I try to just say a prayer.
Yeah.
Because that siren is going towards something bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to something bad.
Retired detective with the Albuquerque Police Department, Vince Harrison. He serves as the Calvary Church Safety and Security Director. Mark Chavez is a retired firefighter, and he currently serves on the Calvary Church Safety Team. He also serves, as a business called Chainsaw. It's sandiabearcompany.com, and he carves bears. And I think that sounds therapeutic, but it's also kind of turned into a business. That's kind of fun.
It's my therapy for sure.
I love it. Jennifer Santiago is the co-founder and director of Reload Love. We've had her on the show a number of different times talking about their wonderful ministry. We have one more segment with these three, and we hope you'll stay with us. Trying to encourage you and think back to 9/11 and think about what does God want us to know and what does He want to teach us through those events and keep us focused on as we move forward. We'll be back right after these messages.
Center of where this happened, the devastation is just completely over.
The second and last tower of the World Trade Tower has just
collapsed. And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
It'd be nice if the people that knocked these towers down would continue to hear all of us for years and years and years. But Mark, I think you have a sense that the memory of 9/11 has faded in America.
Yes, I do think it has. I mean, you know, the patriotism and whatnot. But I think as believers who responded to that scene, for me personally, it's made me more aware that there's a lot of hurting people. Even those terrorists were what drove them to that? And that was a lack of knowledge of the creator of the universe and being influenced by all these negative influences in their life that were really satanic. I think as believers, even now, like even with our job here at the church, Vince always reminds us that, hey, that knucklehead that's causing trouble, they have a life. Something has happened to them to make them be where they're at in that bad situation. I mean, there's a time when you got to do what you got to do, but why not approach that person with the love of Christ and say, you know, hey, what's going on? What's causing you to have this anger and how can we help, you know? Attempting to pray with them and attempting to understand their pain, because a lot of people act out in pain. You know, yes. They don't know what to do, so they.
Vince, have you seen a life change by coming to know Jesus? That might even be a scenario like Mark just described, facing something. Maybe they had to be disciplined. Maybe they had to be restrained. Maybe they had to be arrested. Have you seen a life change with someone like that?
A lot of times, you know, you'll talk. I remember talking to somebody one time, and they had asked me, "Do you remember me? Are you a cop?" And I said, "Yeah." You know, I see people all the time. It was like, "Okay, you were with your family at the mall, whatever." You remember you saved my life. This person said one time, and the person was addicted to drugs, and they stayed in jail and sobered up and changed their life around. And it just happened to be the system back then when it worked. You know, now you're out of jail the next day. But I think as far as you see the change in people. Christ is the only way you're going to change your behavior, and you're going to change anything negative that's going on in your life. Being a Christian isn't perfect. It's not going to solve all your problems. But you sleep better because you have the peace knowing that your life is circumspectly, you're living right before the living God, because we're all going to be accountable to Him sometime.
Amen.
And you know, you look at the terrorist attack, and everybody that was killed, including the terrorists, met God face to face. Once that happened, some were sent to damnation, right, eternal torment, and some were met Christ and said, "Come in, well done, good and faithful servant." So that's the reality check that everybody needs. That I think we all have, and that's why we went out there to give hope.
You said something earlier too about you need to ask God to forgive you. You need to receive His forgiveness. That's already been extended to us. Jesus extended that to us many thousands of years ago, a couple thousand years ago.
Free.
Yeah. And His forgiveness is already offered. The price has already been paid. And by the way, everybody that's in the church has asked that same forgiveness. So you're just going to be joining a bunch of sinners that have received forgiveness. Jen, you brought up something during the last break that I found to be very profound, even as I'm talking now, and that is we're thinking about those firefighters, mm-hmm. and we're thinking about those first responders that are police officers, and we're thinking about the medical workers and everything else, but you brought up the sanitation workers.
Yes.
Why do we forget about them? They paid the price.
Yeah, they did. And my husband's brother worked with the solid waste department, and he and his crew were there from day one for months and months, sifting through the debris to find anything that represented somebody's body. And so they were impacted on a whole other level that we don't remember. And we want to give a shout out to them and thank them and their family and their time and all of the love and support that they need to process, like Vince, you were talking about PTSD. Even though it's 22 years, we don't forget. Mm-hmm. You don't forget.
You know, I think about our custodial staff at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that this church campus, our maintenance team, I mentioned outdoors, how beautiful it is outdoors. This campus has been designed, if you're listening and you have a chance to go to the Calvary campus, sit down and have some lunch, listen to the fountain, which is really our baptismal. Mm-hmm. If you have a chance to walk in the park, this is designed for you to be here every day. And there's many campuses like that. There's peace here. There's beautiful worship music playing. But I think about the sanitation workers. I think about our custodial staff. So often we don't think about, man, that bathroom is really clean. Mm-hmm. And we ought to thank God for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. I think it's important because the body of Christ, and that's really important in your ministry, Reload Love. Jen, you are really trying to bring people into helping. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Reload and what you do.
Yeah, so our heart and mission are for children impacted by terrorism. And what we do is we raise awareness. We take spent bullet casings and we upcycle them. We turn them into beautiful pieces of jewelry. It's not because we don't think bullets and guns are bad, but when you put them together with children, bullets and babies don't mix.
Mm.
And so it's to raise awareness and funds to help children around the world impacted by terrorism. And something really cool that happened last year, I received a call from a gentleman, and he said, "I have been searching everywhere to find out how I could get a mercy band." And after 9/11, Lenya had this idea to create these mercy bands of bearing another name's another name and praying for them. Anyone that died because of 9/11, their name was put on a bracelet. Well, this call that I got, he said, "I am a child that was impacted by terrorism because my dad and my uncle died in the Twin Towers, in the mm-hmm. second tower." And we gifted everyone who was a child or family member a bracelet of their loved one who died. And he lost his. He said he wore it every day since he got it, and he lost it. It was like a a part of him, and he was devastated. And so, long story short, I was able to recreate one for him and his three sisters. Awesome. His youngest sister never even met her father. And so it was just this beautiful testimony of something so small. You know, sometimes we're like a bracelet, a jewelry, you know, playground, like whatever. But the impact and the healing of first is acknowledgement. When somebody has experienced trauma, the first thing to do is acknowledge that something has happened, bring them to safety, and then bring normalcy. But the bracelets and also what we do with Reload Love with the current jewelry, it tells a story that we see the innocent children, we see the innocent families that have been impacted and have become victims, but there's a hope for them. Mm-hmm. And so that's our heart, it's our mission, and it's still current today, sadly.
I still have mine. Mm-hmm. John DeLara, NYPD. This is 22 years old.
And you have it on.
I have it on. I lost it once. And I retrieved it a month later. It was like part of me was lost. You have yours, right, Jen?
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah, Brooke. She was in the World Trade Center.
Vince, when you talk about 9/11, there's a lot of conversation. We could have this conversation for 4 hours and do 10 shows. Is the conversation open for people that want to know about Jesus and don't really know anything about him? And can they go to a church and actually have the conversation? Is that, or do you have to have already decided and already be perfect to go to a church?
Every week, we meet people that are just new here. Come to Calvary on Wednesday night. Come to Calvary Wednesday morning. Come here on this campus Thursday morning, Thursday night. Come on Saturday. We have services Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. But you can step foot on this campus any day of the week, 7 days a week. Come to the coffee shop to ask somebody, hey, I'm struggling. The FC people on this campus praying with people daily, every single day. We are a ministry, and we're here to help. And if you need help, you're hurting, you need prayer, come by. You can ask for me, you can ask for Mark and Jen, you can ask for you, Jim. Mm-hmm. We're available. I pray for many, many, many people that are strangers. It doesn't matter. We're here to help because Jesus is the way, the only way.
Amen. Yes. Jennifer, why do I have to use and threaten you with these two to come get you if you're not on the radio with me? Why do I have to do that?
They'll have to pin me down and get to my calendar.
You're very busy. Well, you're doing a lot. We thank all of you for being here. Mark, you do a lot of ministry. Your carving business is amazing.
Thank you.
Vince, thank you for all you do to keep us safe here at Calvary Church. Jen, God bless you in your work with Reload Love. And thank you all for listening today on ABQ Connect.
And
we hope 9/11 means that you're going to love somebody more today.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.